This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Border War Podcast here on the Kansas City Sports Network. We are presented by M-Prize Bank. My name is Jarrett Sutton. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Jeff Hawkins. Jeff, what's going on? How we doing today?
Doing great, man. Feel like I say this every year. Maybe I got to, like, make some hand movements so they know it's different. But more college basketball.
That's right, man.
Getting close to March Madness. But there's some good basketball going on. Teams are starting to figure some things out. And, I mean, that's what you expect at this time. So, for me, it's always great. We're still in basketball season. If anything, I'm a little bit sad because I know each weekend that goes by, we're closer to being done. But other than that, it's a great time to be talking about basketball.
Yeah, you still got a little ways to go in your season, right? Is that right?
One game tomorrow, and then we hit our first round of districts next Thursday. So that's win or go home. So we're at that stage where everything matters.
I always know that the postseason is like pretty close when high school districts and, you know, all the state stuff starts popping up. I'm like, okay, here we go, postseason time. So we're inching closer and closer. We got some games to discuss here. We're going to start with just Mizzou giving Tennessee a good little run for their money. Once again, another game where Mizzou competes. They're in the game back and forth, had a lead, then lose that lead and ultimately lose at home. Had a chance to pull pretty big upset. Would have been their best win of the year by far, but aren't able to close. First half was ugly. I think it was 2-0 through the first 6 minutes of the game, just 1-for-17, I think, both teams combined. So it was not a great start to the game. Missouri, that's unfortunately probably how Missouri's going to, you know, be able to win a game. Game can be ugly, but ultimately Tennessee gets it figured out in the second half, pulls off the win. Really big talk of the second half was just Tennessee started to catch fire a little bit. They were +8 in the second half. I thought Missouri, though, actually competed on the glass. They were only -5 in the glass, and field goal percentage is going to be low, but they did shoot 37% from three. All in all, you know, again, I go back to, we've talked so much about fighting and competing and playing to the end of the season and, you know, trying to find some motivation. And, you know, you wear the name on the front of your jersey and, you know, you're an NIL athlete and this is what you do. You play basketball. You're only going to have these moments. And guys are playing, you know, you're always on film, right? If you're going to enter the portal, if you're coming back next year, if you want to go maybe seek out opportunities overseas, you know, these games actually do matter. And it's good to see Mizzou start to continue to compete in these games and at least be in a game against a very good team like Tennessee that's the top of the SEC.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned it to me, and that's what we talked about last week. You know, it's just competing, you know, compete. And I think no matter where you are at the top of the standings, at the bottom of the standings, if you can compete, that's where that development can really shine and blossom and take off. And when you watch that Tennessee game and you saw the Tigers just competing throughout the one, it was just a 3-minute stretch. I think it was about 10 minutes left in the game. They went on, it was about a 3-minute stretch where just they couldn't score. But I think you take away that 3 minutes and I think they come out on top, and, you know, it goes to show that they're starting to slowly put things together and play more of a full game, and to be able to do it against a top five opponent, I think that's big for them. And that's something that they can build on moving forward. So just to be able to see them compete on a stage like that, I mean, I think that makes Missouri fans, again, and the student section, you know, proud to say they love that school.
Absolutely. And you look at, you know, just some box score, some notable. Sean East is back, had a great game, finished with 24 points, was a big part of the offense. You know, it was kind of a drag out first half, but second half, back and forth, they went, this is, and the number five team in the country, top five team, really good, tough. Rick Barnes teams are always like physically tough. And the question was, did Tennessee just think they were going to come in and roll balls out and win? Maybe something to that a little bit. There's always, you know, playing on the road, February. I don't know if the energy was as good as we've seen in some, you know, past games with Mizzou, but ultimately you got to create your own energy. So you give Tennessee credit for coming back and playing well in the second half. But, you know, when you look at this season, and it obviously hasn't gone well, the positive is Sean East had such a great year. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle. You know, I appreciate Sean for just his ability to, you know, kind of be the guy all season that's the most consistent. Tamar Bates would be in this conversation too, but Sean East playing a totally different role than he did last year. Coming back, he's been sick. You know, definitely had the illness that's tough to come back from. He was out for quite a while, but comes back 7 of 15 from the field, 3 of 6 from three. And actually, you know, a talking point we will get to, but went 7 of 11 at the free throw line and was very aggressive in attack mode, had 6 assists. Noah Carter also very good, 20 points, 5 of 10 from the field. He also got to the line a lot as well. I think when you look at these two guys, you know, they're going to be done, you know, their careers will end at Mizzou, but they did so much for the team last year in year one. They're a huge part of, you know, that NCAA tournament team. They played a role and they filled their role. A little different this year, but like I've said before, I do want to see some of these guys go out, hopefully on a good note. I was talking to Ryan Rosberg, who played at Missouri. He was on some teams that were not great, but you know, a guy that really finished his career strong, and I think you can look back on that with some positivity after you're done playing. So good for Nick Honor, good for Sean East. Noah Carter and Sean East to really play well against Tennessee.
And that's what you want to see out of Sean. And again, you talk about a guy who's, like you said, had to switch from a more of a role player to the guy. And I think with that sickness he battled, you know, kind of put a wrinkle into the flow of his into the flow of his game. But to be able to see him to come back strong and what he's doing for the game. You know, he's just been so aggressive. These last two games, I think he's attempted 23 free throws. So, I mean, that just goes to show when he's not playing, you know, getting to the line 23 times in two games. I think that's a lot of aggression. That's a lot of players that don't do that in 10 games. So for him to, you know, that just goes to show you his impact. And, you know, we know he's a winner at heart. And, you know, he was a part of that run last year as well, too. So for a guy like that who's done things the right way, it's been a good teammate, you want to see him have good success. And again, another guy you mentioned, Noah Carter, I think, you know, Noah's been playing really great down the stretch along with Tamar Bates. But I think if, you know, these guys, they, again, keep plugging away. If you can show that you can compete and just clean up some little things on the way, you're going to be in every game, and I think that's what you want to do. No matter what your record is, that's what you want. The fans love it. The players love it. The coaches love it, even if you're not coming out on top. But if you can be in those games to give yourself a chance to win, that's that competitive part of it. And I think Missouri right now, they're on that tick right now. So they're just a couple plays away, a couple minutes away, a couple possessions away of you know, seeing that light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Ole Miss game. I was just going to lead into that of just very similar games. You know, when you look at Missouri has a lead at half, and they come out in the second half and still competitive, but just can't get over the hump. And it is great. Sean was excellent in both those games. He had another 25-point game in that game as well. I think the frustration is, and I think it's not just the fans, obviously, but the players and the coaches, they obviously didn't expect the season to go this way. But I just, it's amazing how many games that they're right there or have a lead. Yeah. And they can't finish. They just can't close. And unfortunately, it's a big part of the game, right? I mean, that final 4-minute period, late game execution, closing half strong, starting half strong. You know, not having long stretches of inconsistency, that's what leads to winning games and ultimately having a successful season. So it's too little, I guess, is what kind of comes back to my mind of just they're not getting enough to just get over that hump right now.
Yeah.
So we'll take a quick break. We do want to mention our friends at Homefield Apparel. Homefield is committed to creating incredibly comfortable, officially licensed apparel with vintage college designs. Homefield has a growing collection of over 150 plus colleges to choose from, including your favorite team's unique logos, mascots, and iconic moments to create thoughtfully designed apparel. Shop your latest team's apparel, head to homefieldapparel.com, use the promo code KCSN23 for 15% off your first order.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Border War podcast here on the Kansas City Sports Network. We are presented by Emprise Bank. And Jeff, wanted to get to a couple things that took place this week for Mizzou. Number one, we'll just dive into Dennis Gates' postgame after the Tennessee game the other night. Usually calm, cool, collected. It's been a long year, and a lot's been made of Coach Gates' postgame comments. Might have dropped an F-bomb, possibly, in his post-game to discuss some foul, getting to the free throw line and discussing how his team struggles to get to the free throw line. And he's not wrong. You could tell that. I don't know if necessarily the free throws is what really drew the comments out of him. I think just the fact that it's a game clearly that would have been great for them to win, and they once again can't get it done. It's a little bit, I think, of a frustration of the year they've had. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the news of Desiree Reed Francois leaving Mizzou for Arizona, Mizzou's former now athletic director, who did a lot in a short amount of time at Mizzou, did a fantastic job in her tenure in terms of fundraising at the cutting edge of NIL facilities. You know, Mizzou Arena has got a nice facelift. It's great to walk into the arena. It looks brand new. Fans engagement, in-game experience at basketball games has been so much better since her direction, and it's a testament to her and the entire athletic department. But it's tough to see her go. And she hired Dennis Gates. They were very close and connected. Coach Gates always, you know, used to say, Desiree, she gets it. I always hear Dennis Gates say she just gets it. And that means a lot of things. I feel for Dennis Gates because that's his boss. And now, you know, the question comes, you know, what, you know, a new AD comes in, you're coming off a tough season. You know, that's not a good thing. But I think that's a lot of this frustration right now, and deservedly so. I would be frustrated too. Especially when you come off such a high of 1 year ago. I mean, when we were talking about this team last year, we're talking about, man, are they going to finish top four in the SEC? What's their seed going to be? How many wins do they need, you know, to get off the 5 seed line, all those things. And now we're talking about something totally different. I feel for them, but I think, you know, as a coach, you always have to keep it together all the time, every day, and and when you're talking to the media right after a game like that, emotional loss, tough loss at home, I think you might have just let something slip there. But definitely, you can tell he's frustrated and kind of let loose there a little bit.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you definitely want to try to do. And you know, everybody has that point where their emotions kind of get the best of them, and you can hopefully reflect and, you know, help prevent some of that stuff. But, you know, as a leader, you definitely don't want to put yourself in sometimes those situations, because when you're a leader, the things that you do, the ones that are under you following you, if they do the exact same things, really at the end of the day, can you be mad at them? So those are always the things you have to risk in those things. And you know, there's a lot of things built up with Desiree leaving as well, too. And, you know, those coaches, especially when those ADs bring those coaches in, that's a deep relationship. You know, that's a deep, trusted relationship. So, you know, it's a lot of emotions that he's definitely going through right now. There's also a positive that you could possibly say, you know, there's a way that he's challenging his players through that, through the media. You know, these kids are so much on social media now, that could be a way for them to, you know, just to lock in a little bit more to help, you know, push them over the edge to stay a little bit locked in, whether it's for another 1 to 3 minutes. So there's all different ways how you can look at it, you know, especially for a guy who's always being cool, calm, and collective. You got to know everybody has a breaking point, and I can't even say he's been broke. But they have a point to where, you know, they'll let their emotions kind of get out in a way that you haven't seen more in a consistent pattern. So I say watch it. I mean, watch it. But, you know, see how the replay, the players respond to it. I think that can kind of let you know how whatever messages are being sent through the media, even if it's getting to those players, if it's not, you know, they'll come up and, you know, they'll pretty much show how locked in they are towards their practices and the next game. You fans don't see the practices, but they get to see the product of the game. So I just wait to see the next game. But the tick that they're at right now, I still like the tick where they're at. They're competing right now. I know Coach Gase is frustrated, but as a coach, I still, at the end of the day, you got to appreciate and kind of focus on that competing and, you know, competing and I guess tweaking for them. Compete. They're competing. Just keep making adjustments till you get it the way you want it.
Yeah. It's interesting. A lot's made, you know, just in the Mizzou fan base of just Coach Gates, you know, having a moment there. But I kind of look around the country this year, and there's been several coaches that have taken to the podium. And we're seeing with Rick Pitino at St. John's. He had a lot of things to say about his team. He walked some of those back. I do think there's a time and a place where you can use the media to motivate, you know, and obviously I think people sometimes get worn down with just coach speak stuff. And I get that. But I do think, you know, to your point, when you're the head coach and you're in that position of leadership, whether you're, you know, the highest of highs or the lowest of lows, there's got to be an even keelness like Dennis Gates has had. So I don't want to lose sight of that. I kind of use the example, I hate to do this, but I use the example of, I love listening to Andy Reid. Chiefs head coach, just because I feel like whether they get a big win or a horrible loss, he always just has the same demeanor. And you always hear about players that talk about him and they love him because it's always the next day, the next thing. How do we get better? No matter if you win big or you lose big. And especially when guys don't play well, there's no, you know, throwing under the bus or anything like that. But I do find it interesting that this year they were faced with a bunch of adversity. And then much was made of Mahomes and Andy talking about Kadarius Toney. And so much was made about, well, why are they, you know, you never see them do that. And I really think it was a lot because of the season, that the way it was going. And a lot of those things, they just wear you down sometimes. Yeah. And I think sometimes people miss that. And they want to just arc at the one thing that a coach does or says. And it's like, well, you got to take the whole thing here into perspective. So anyway, I think it can just happen to anybody. And I don't think it's a reflection. Now, you got to be careful, you know, with what you say and what you do, especially after a game when you're emotional and things are on your mind. That's always tough.
You know, relaying the message, there's tons of ways to do it. And it maybe was the F-bomb that put a lot of notice on it. You know, you use a different word choice with that. And that message is conveyed in a much different way.
Yeah, no question. So for Mizzou, you look ahead and, you know, the season's starting to wear thin now in terms of games they might be able to win to get a league win. They go to Arkansas, tough place to play. They'll play the Hogs at 11 a.m. This coming Saturday against the Hogs. Then they'll go to Florida next week to Gainesville. So two pretty tough road games coming up, tough places to play before they come home for their final two home games, and then they'll finish at LSU. So you look ahead, some tough games ahead. They played Ole Miss well. That's the game that I would circle as a possible opportunity. But, hey, they just played well against Tennessee in their own building. They gave them a game that should give them some confidence. You know, it's a loss, but there's a lot to take from that game. And hopefully they can continue to build and maybe sneak out a win. And maybe we're talking about a win come next week. So, Jeff, we'll get back together, hopefully talking, you know, Mizzou win maybe here coming up in the next week. Always appreciate your insight and time, man. We'll talk next week.
OSA, you remember I said 2+, man. 2+ is coming.
Plus, it's coming.
I was like, come on, Tennessee, yay. All right, hey, we right there, though. We competing. Here it comes.
Here it comes. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.